Well, good evening. It's really great to be here. What fantastic worship, and how lovely to see lots of friends that I know and meet lots of new friends. So thank you. There are some bookmarks out in the vestibule if you would like them. I've taken a few photos. They will appear on my Facebook page at some point, if I remember tomorrow, but it may be a couple of days later if you're interested, and there's some Bible study resources there as well. But the theme for the year is As in Heaven. And we know those words so well, don't we? May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. And the trouble is, we know them too well sometimes. We know them and we forget just how radical they are. We know that God's kingdom has come in part. We know that one day God's kingdom will come with trumpet blasts, cosmic firework displays, or whatever that is all about. And Jesus will come back. But at the moment, our calling is to participate in seeing God's kingdom come more fully, to pray for it, to seek it, and to be part of heaven here on earth. And I want to tell you there are two things that we need to do to fulfill that prayer. And the first one is that you need to be filled with heaven yourself. You see, I don't want to worry you. Lots of people think that going to church is all about getting a ticket for heaven in the future. That's not what it's all about. God wants to get heaven into you now, so that you will take heaven with you into this week, and that you will be Jesus, be the presence of God, be all that God is wherever he might take you. Whatever God has called you to do or to be this week, a cleaner, a social worker, a minister, a teacher, a whatever, God wants you to take heaven to people who need to know of God's presence. God wants to use you because God has called you, filled you with his presence, with the presence of heaven, so that you might offer hope and life and love and all that God is to others. And then the second thing he wants you to do is to punch holes in the darkness. And some of us think that may sound a bit aggressive for God's people. But you know, we live in a world where we need light to go into dark places. We need God's light to punch holes where there is at the moment hell. And we need to take heaven there. And God wants to use you to do it. God wants to use each one of us to be part of his kingdom purposes, whoever we might be. For we live in a world where there are too many who are sad and lost, grieving. Those who've been told they're useless or valueless or hopeless. And that can never be true, for they are made in the image of God. And God loves them and cares for them. And he asks us to go and show his love by taking his heavenly presence. The broken and the messed up. Do you know, we're all broken and messed up, really, aren't we? But some of us are quite good at disguising it and hiding it. God calls us to go and take heaven. I love that book. Is it Unapologetic? An Emotional Defense of Christianity, I think it's called, by Francis Spufford. You can't really quote it too much in church because it uses the F word rather a lot. But it's all about the human propensity to mess up. We live in a world where the human propensity to mess up is huge. And God asks us to go and take heaven with us, to actually let heaven kind of sort out our mess, and then walk with others in their mess and show hope and God's presence. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God as in heaven, is both God's presence and God's rule. And I want to unpack those a little bit. We had that rather curious reading from Job 26. It's difficult because I'm not preaching from a passage as such, and some of you might have thought, what was that all about? Some bits of the Bible out of context are a bit like that, aren't they? But actually, the second part of it, Job is saying how amazing our God is. And even when we have understood that he created the world, that he has done so much. We've only just had a glimpse, a whisper of him. For our God is so great and so powerful, he can do far more than we imagine. So we are to take God's presence. What are we praying when we pray for God's presence? We are praying that God might be at work in us and through us. God, so much greater than our minds can grasp, so much more than we can imagine. So I just want to take four words to kind of hang something on what it means to be filled with God's presence and to take heaven into this coming week. And the first word I want to take is, as we're filled with God's presence, God is humble. The presence of God is always humble. Now, you need to understand this is not the Donald Trump form of humility, who was asked, was it by somebody said to him, "You don't come across as very humble." And he said, "I am humble, much more humble than you could actually realize. In fact, I am great at being humble." He didn't say that last bit, but I'm kind of thinking he was thinking it, wasn't it? When we pray for as in heaven, we're praying that we and our community might reflect God in his humility. God who humbled himself and sent his son Jesus, given for us in his death and rising again to life. Jesus giving up all the glory of heaven. Sometimes we think that being church is hard work, and it is. And sometimes we think we're a bit too good for it, or it's a bit too much. And we need to remind ourselves of all that Jesus did. That actually God never asks us anything he hasn't done tenfold himself. And we are called as communities and as individuals to reflect heaven, to bring heaven to our communities by reflecting God in his humility. Philippians 2, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality something to be grasped. We may be entitled to sit at the top table or have the best seat, but we are called to make ourselves nothing, becoming like servants, that we might be filled with heaven and take heaven into a needy world. And then not only is God humble, God is merciful. And that's such a rich word, isn't it? God full of mercy. That it means so many different things. Not only humble, but actually generous and kind. I love those verses in Isaiah. A bruised reed he will not break. A smouldering wick he will not put out. We are to be people who know that we've received mercy, that we didn't deserve it, that we are like that broken reed about to collapse completely. And God in his mercy has looked after us and cared for us. And we're like that smouldering wick that is about to go out. And God actually keeps us alight and breathes life so the flame comes. And that's what we're to do when we take heaven to others. That's what we do amongst ourselves, to be merciful to each other. There are times when we feel crushed, don't we, by an image of God who is so great. And we think, how can we be good enough for God? How can we ever own the name of Jesus? God says, you can't, but in my mercy, I make you to be what I want you to be, to make you to be like Jesus. And God is working on all of us so that we can be filled with his presence and take that with us. Nehemiah says, God, you are forgiving, you are kind, you are gracious, you are full of mercy and compassion. You don't become angry quickly. You have great patient love, so you do not leave, abandon, or desert your people. When we pray as in heaven, we are praying that God's kingdom might come, that God might be present amongst us in mercy, in grace, in love, that he might fill us with his presence, that we go the second, third, and fourth mile with each other. 3 weeks ago, I was in Stockton-on-Tees, and at the end of the service, Malcolm came up to me, and Malcolm said to me, "Diane, I'm one of those broken people you were talking about that God is putting back together again." He said, 4 years ago, my son had a very serious health condition. My marriage had just broken up. I was on the street and homeless, and I thought my life had come to an end. And I didn't really believe in God, but he said, I prayed that God would reveal himself to me if he was there. And Malcolm went into a church, and Malcolm met a lady who talked to him and valued him and showed the presence of God and gave him an insight into God's heavenly presence. And what was amazing was that this woman's husband had exactly the same rare health condition that Malcolm's son had. And they found a bridge and they talked. And the church looked after him and cared for him. And Malcolm has discovered heaven on earth. He's now housed. His son is on medication, getting through his health issue is under control. And he's become somebody who takes heaven to other people because Jesus has touched his life. God calls us to be merciful as he is mercy, to show his love to many people as he gives us the opportunity. And then God is also holy. And I don't know what you think when you think of the word holy. And sometimes it can feel a bit clinical and a bit harsh. And it can be a bit scary, the holiness of God. And we just want to think, actually, we're not good enough, which we are not, because God is pure and innocent and holy. That actually he cannot look on evil. The power and majesty of God is so great that when Ezekiel and Isaiah came face to face with it, all they could do was fall down because they felt so bad before the holiness of God. And that's one aspect of God's holiness. But holiness is life. It's joyful. It's brilliant. It's dazzling. It's exquisite. God's holiness is full of laughter. I love the fact that C.S. Lewis says joy is the serious business of heaven. That actually, when we come to know God, we are knowing that joy that is holy and deep and profound. When we pray, may your kingdom come, may your holiness be amongst us, I think of someone like Vivian Stacey. You may never have heard of Vivian Stacey. She's gone to glory now. She was, in many ways, not really somebody you would notice. She was maybe a little old lady with a little grey bun and quite round. But she had a PhD in linguistics, not that that really counted for too much, because she would say what mattered was that she had Jesus in her. And Jesus sent her to places like Pakistan to take the good news of Jesus to women in Pakistan who would never have heard of God's love, except the fact that this little lady who nobody thought could be dangerous went with the dynamite of the kingdom of God and told women of God's love, and they became Christians. And what it was about Vivian was that whenever she came back and she preached and she shared what was going on, there was a deep, holy laughter in her soul. And I think she was full of colour and full of joy, and yet there was an innocence and a purity about her life that just spoke of the holiness of God. When we pray as in heaven, we are praying that we might be holy as God is holy. Not dull, boring and clinical, which is what some people think holiness is, but pure and full of God's life, reflecting the greatness, the wonder, the joy of the living God. We are seeking the God of the universe to be present amongst us, for him to lead us and him to guide us, for him to transform our hearts and wills, our thinking and our attitudes, that we too might be holy, humble and merciful. And then the fourth word I want to say is about being powerful. God is powerful. And when we pray as in heaven, we are praying for the power of God to be at work amongst us. And I know we struggle with power because we know about abuse of power, misuse of power, and we see it in the church sometimes. But we're praying for the loving, powerful presence of God amongst us. The name that is above all names, there is power in the name of Jesus. Power to break the bonds of evil and injustice and wrongdoing, power to overcome things that other things just don't work on. I find myself praying more and more in the powerful name of Jesus. And we need to be a people who reflect the power of our loving God. Making the world is just less than a week's work for our God. God is able to do far more than we ask or imagine. And so when we pray as in heaven, God's power is at work through those prayers. And I know prayer is a mystery. It's not 2 hours plus 2 hours equals four answers. There's a mystery about prayer. But I know when I pray, God works. And I know that God, somehow by praying, we are releasing his kingdom to be at work in us and through us and in his community. God wants opportunities to pour in his powerful, loving grace and presence. The other day, 10 days ago, I was at a prayer breakfast in Manchester. And I was sat next to a beautiful young woman, and she seemed just a complete delight. And halfway through breakfast, she says to me, "I was a witch, you know." And she said, "I was a witch and a pagan worshipper. But my next door neighbours were praying for me, and it drove me mad," she said. And she said, "I got a bit cross with them, but then one day I realised how messed up my life was, how broken I was. And I went next door and I said, 'I need that Bible that you've offered me. I need to know about the God of love. I need to be released from the things that are holding me.' And now you wouldn't," she said, "you wouldn't recognise me from the person I was. The power of God to change lives, the power of God to break evil, the power of God to transform and do things we can't imagine." Ephesians 1 says we are to know his incomparably greater power for us who believe. And maybe there's a warning to us also in 1 Corinthians 11 when Paul says some of you are weak because you haven't really been walking closely with God. We're not seeking God's presence. So when we pray as in heaven, we are praying for the presence of God. We are praying for his humility, his mercy, his holiness, and his power at work amongst us. But we are also praying for God's reign. And we might say that, yes, of course, God's reign and God's presence overlap hugely. But actually, you might say Jeremy Corbyn is a presence on the political scene, but he's certainly not reigning at the moment. And it's possible for God to be present amongst us, but somehow for us just to not let him rule and reign in the way that he would want to. And so when we pray for God's reign amongst us, we are praying first of all that he might do it in our lives as his disciples. Lord, will you rule and reign in my life and the lives of those around us? Would we willingly say yes to Jesus, surrender to Christ and his lordship? And we should be praying for more people to acknowledge the reign of Christ in their lives, the rule of God. Whoever rules is the one who determines the priorities and the values. And so we are praying that Jesus might determine our priorities and our values, that his kingdom life and hope might always be the prevailing concern. Jesus, the Son of God, the hope of the world, who gave up all the glory of the heaven, him leading us forward. Not circumstances, not kind of what can we get through the church meeting, not this, not that, but God himself. We look at the reign of dictators and autocrats around the world, and we see it's their character which determines their reign. President Mugabe of Zimbabwe wanting to accrue wealth and power for himself and somehow getting others out of the way in order to do so. We've already mentioned President Trump, but he wants to make America great again at the expense of all kinds of other people. And we think of global corporations who want to make huge profits, and actually other nations just can't are kept poor in the process. Or caliphates who want to just control and repress. No, God's perfect reign is so different. It is for all people, for all nations, for all backgrounds, for all languages. And his reign is to bring life and joy, forgiveness and hope and a future to everyone. Not just the few who seem to fit in a certain category. It is to prioritise those who know they are in need, the marginalised and the powerless, those who are broken and feel a failure. And so when we pray, as in heaven, we're praying, Lord, may you reign in our lives and may your sovereign will be done. God's sovereign will be done, because that's kind of a contradiction of terms. God's will is being worked out. That's what makes it sovereign. But actually what we're saying, Lord, can we be part of your sovereign purposes and plans? Can we get it? Can we get on board with it? Can we be in harmony with your will and your purposes, Lord? God's reign is described in a multitude of ways throughout Scripture. Love and truth meeting, right living and peace kissing, loyalty and holiness, justice leading the way, in structures, in organisations, in communities. Lord, can your will be done? Can we pray it and see it and work to see it accomplished? Lord, we pray that your sovereign will might be done in North Korea, in North America, in our cities, on Wall Street, in the City of London. Lord, may we see your exquisite goodness, your faithfulness, your presence ruling and reigning in our land, your world. God's fairness, God's generosity, God's kindness. When we pray as in heaven, we are praying that all we do might be done in accordance with God's will. Humility and graciousness, sharing in the rule of God, being Christ in our communities. One of the joys of the role I have is to see heaven in lots of different places. And if you've seen your Baptist, well, actually, I think it was on the Baptist website, the monthly news roundup or the weekly roundup, about Hope into Action. 7 years ago, God gave Ed a vision for helping the homeless of Peterborough. 7 years ago, Ed had to find the money from his own resources to put a deposit on the first house for the homeless. And then he got others to get involved. And then they trained church teams to care for the homeless. Because you're never homeless just because you don't have a roof over your head. There's always a whole plethora of reasons that leads to homelessness. And so some folks have come to know Jesus as their Lord. Some have simply found hope and life in a house. But last night, they celebrated the 50th house 7 years on. 7 years on, they were able to say, we have housed 400 people. We have brought life and heaven and told people about God's love through housing them. It is great to be part of what God is doing. So how can you and I let heaven, how can we let God pour heaven into our lives and then punch holes into the darkness? Two simple things. We need to worship, first of all, as in heaven. And we've worshipped tonight, and that's great. And God will know whether it's been heavenly or not. I think singing's been fantastic, and the worship group have been brilliant. Thank you so much. But worship as in heaven is not just our voices and our singing and our praises. It's how we use our time and our money, and it's how we live our lives. If we want heaven in us, if we want God's presence in us, then we need to be people who bring our total adoration to God, but actually honour God on Mondays as well as Sundays. In how we pay our bills, how we treat people with respect, with all that we are. We need to remember that God is both Abba Father and the Almighty Sovereign Lord of the universe. And there should be a part of us that is fearful about not living God's way. and yet know that God loves us and cares for us and is with us. I love the fact that Prince William gets it about the Queen. Do you remember when the Queen looked as though she was jumping out of the helicopter for the opening of the Olympics with 007? She wasn't. But did you hear Prince William when he was off guard? "Go, Granny," he was saying. But he's very careful when he's in other contexts to refer with great respect to the Queen, because she is holding an office of esteem. And I think that's a bit like us and God. We need to recognise God's greatness, and our worship should honour him as the great God of the universe, who is holy and powerful and awesome. And yet to know also, he's our daddy, he loves us, and he's there for us. And so the whole way we live should be an act of worship to God. But then we are called to be kingdom-centered as in heaven. When you have worship, then pray, "Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done." Let us be God-centered. Let us be kingdom-centered as God wants us to be, where God's reign is what guides us forward, is at the centre of all we are. This is a quotation from Pete Gregg. He said, "We've got so used to these words, when actually, and they've lulled us into a false sense of humour, a false sense of security, when initially their intention was to wake us up. Their intention was to rub salt on our lips and defibrillate our hearts so we are thirsty and energized for God. May our desire for God's presence begin to erupt beyond the boundaries of current circumstance. May the frameworks of normality begin to feel intolerable, compel us to wonder again, to inspire us to innovate, provoke us to rage about injustice. Somehow, God's norm has just become ordinary, when God's norm should be great and beyond and above all. This is personal and this is global. We are called to be people with a kingdom focus in everything, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then God will give us all that he has for us. Somehow when we pray, it's kind of quite often can be summed up, "Lord, keep us comfortable. Lord, keep us safe." And yet the prayers of Scripture are much more kingdom orientated. They're praying for boldness, for courage, for evil realms to be torn down, for good and what is right to be raised up. We must make sure our vision of God has not become small fry. We need to make sure that we have an image of God in his rule and reign, working in power. If heaven is to capture our hearts, it has to be big-booted, sharp-toothed, a howling thing, a world of primary colours, never insipid, never static. Oh, we need to recover that sense of God acting in might and power. May your kingdom come in me as in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But until that time, God says to each one of us, be filled again and again and again with heaven, that you might take it to others. Be filled with God's presence, that you might take him into a world that needs to know him. So we started off by saying two things. And at the end of when I'm going to finish in just a moment, and we're going to sing some worship songs, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to God. If you want to take heaven into your world this week, you can be anointed with oil. Now, being anointed with oil is just a symbol of saying, "Lord, I want to be filled with heaven. I want you to use me this week to punch holes in the darkness, to be filled with his presence." Yes, that's all it is. It's very simple. We are called to get filled with God and to go and take heaven into people's hells, to open doors that the light might shine in, to take his presence with us wherever we go. And I want to finish with some words from Steve Holmes, one of our Baptist theologians. I think about heaven on earth. I think about love that cannot be conquered. I think about justice that will not be denied. I think about joy that can never be repressed. I think about an incomprehensible future where justice and joy will reign. I think about the passionate kiss of righteousness and peace. And I pray, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So as we worship, if you just want to say again, Lord, I want to be part of this. I want to just be anointed. I just want to say again, Lord, I'm yours, use me. Then I'm just here. I'll say a brief prayer, a brief anointing with oil, and you can go back to your seat. But thank you.